Lighting the Void. This is our second show. We're running about 10 minutes late due to my fault. It's my fault. Sorry, guys. I don't know why ever since I've done this stupid Windows update, I've been having problems all night. There, I'm done complaining. I'm finished. That was a cool show with Daniel Joseph. I can't believe he even talks to me sometimes, man. I'm not trying to put the guy up on a pedestal, but I know he's busy. And I'm going to say this about our next guest that we're going to have here, too. We're going to skip our first break, and we'll take a break through half the show because we're running behind. But before I do this, I want to say, if you're listening, son, Corbin, happy birthday. You are the light of my life, and every day is a privilege to be your father. You have no idea. And you're growing up too fast. Slow down, Bubba. I love you. All right. So if you're just tuning in, you can find our website at Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Roop. Man, gosh, you know, I'm just dealing with all this technology and stuff. It's, you know, as soon as I think I got it mastered, it kicks me in the face every time. It's like playing golf, you know. It frustrates the hell out of me sometimes. However, I'm super excited about our next guest. Our next guest is going to be Dan Lopez, host of Spiritual Warrior Today, the resurrection of a podcast that has been around since 2011, and he is now on KTLK, The Fringe FM, and we are running his old shows, and it will be coming live very soon. And Daniel Lopez is a hell of a guy, I'm just going to say. I've been talking to the guy for the past few days now. He's taught me a lot. He's helped me a lot, and he's a real truth seeker and a spiritualist, and he is returning to radio, and I cannot be more excited. We at LTV are picking up what he's throwing down, and sure. Now, Dan says it actually takes a warrior's heart to engage in today's world with so many areas that seem to come against us, from family, friends, neighbors, financial stuff, governments, environments, from medical institutions, and even spiritual establishments. It's good to know we are not alone. It's also good to know we have resources that we can use every day or on those special occasions that will keep us out of fear and in another form of operation that instills courage and perseverance. Spiritual warriorship is not about fighting, warring, or violence. It's about tools. It's about camaraderie. It's about the power of love. It's about justifiable anger and how to apply it in its most useful form for the results originally intended. It's about knowing the world is unjust and unfair and uncertain and being okay with it all at the same time. It's about understanding powerlessness, but not about helplessness. The spiritual warrior enters into the dark night of the soul and emerges with wisdom, strength, and hope for others who are entering or enduring the struggle of confusion from spiritual and emotional bankruptcy. The warrior faces emotions willingly and cradles the birth of its subservitude to our free will. And you can check this out at lightingthevoid.com. If you go to the show reel, you'll see Dan's picture there, and there's some more writings that we have about him. Dan, the man, Lopez, it's good to have you. How you doing this evening?
Hello, Joseph. I'm nervous, actually.
You're nervous, huh?
I'm actually nervous. That's a heck of a bio. Holy smokes. Happy birthday, Corbin.
Yeah, bro.
I think my voice is cracking. It's a heck of a day, man. I hope the weather's doing okay over there. We got up like to about 90 over here. So it's been kind of rough with the change. We just had to, it was only like 60 degrees, not too like the other night. So it gets pretty crazy. How you been? Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Thank you for everybody for listening and joining in. And for those coming into the chat, this is awesome. Joe's been a real help building up my confidence and getting me back into the idea of coming back out and bringing it up and sending the message back out there, you know, and just letting you all know that you're not alone. So thank you. I'm very appreciative and very grateful.
Yeah, man, it's really good to have you, actually. And you know, the reason why I've said, God, you got to get back into radio is because I listen to all your old shows, even from the start, you know, and it's always interesting listening to someone start their show, the struggles they go through, right, as they move and progress along. But, you know, your message was always the same. Your personality was always the same. I really felt like this guy is sitting in my house talking to me on a personal level. And, man, to me, I mean, a lot of guys on our network do that. You know, Dave does it. I try to do it the best I can. You know, I think you're really good at that. You're really good at, you know, just saying what's real. It doesn't always have to be pretty sometimes, you know. And when we were talking, you would be the first one to not, you know, you'd be like, ah, you know, you're just being an asshole, you know. And I was like, I like this guy already, you know. I like this guy already, you know. He's straight up, and it's good to have you a part of, you know, radio, period, and as a part of the network. It really is, man.
I don't do that with everybody. I have to get to know you for a little bit before I can start razzing you about, you know, how we are and everything like that. And it only comes from knowing myself, really. You know what I mean? It's like I can say that, you know, you're doing this, that, or the other thing only because I've been there. And I know what it's like, and I know where you're coming from. So that's the only way I can say it, you know, and that's the only way I can say it. And it suits me. I think when I got clean, because I got clean back in 1986, I went to a lot of meetings and I was kind of forced to do a lot of talking and sharing everything that was on my head and everything like that. And burying all of the insecurities and stuff like that. And fortunately, there was an environment to be in that was pretty welcoming and forgiving, you know, and understanding enough to let you be who you were. So when you did, you know, come out the side of your face, you know, you weren't like beat down or you weren't, you know, hassled or whatever. Mm-hmm. You basically were told, you know, well, I might not have said it like that, or this is not exactly what you think it is, or you're mixing up your feelings with your thoughts. So, you know, you may feel like a piece of shit, but actually you just think you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Right. Well, I mean, you've gone through, you know, I don't want to get into your story if you don't want to, but you've gone through some rough stuff, man. I mean, do you think, well, let me ask you this. If it wasn't for spirituality, the esoteric, or going deep inside yourself, all of that stuff that you went through, man, do you think you would have made it through all that?
No.
Absolutely not.
Definitely not. Definitely not. It was the one thing that kept me busy enough to stay focused on what the core issues were and just look at them for what they were and not over exaggerate them, not minimize them, but not over exaggerate them to the point of complete hopelessness. So, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with addictions and stuff like that and child abuse and all of that fun stuff that goes along with it, you know, you can go to those places that aren't very pretty, you know. So having a direction that allowed you to face them, to face all of your demons, you know, as you would say, I would not have been able to make it. I don't know if I'd still be here today, but I definitely wouldn't be in the condition I'm in now.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool hearing your story. If you start from the beginning, you were talking about the knock at the door, right? And immediately goosebumps went up on my arm because I used to have the same thing happen to me. And it started, you know, after my first marriage and I got divorced and I was going down this road of really trying to find myself. I was studying everything and then it led me into spirituality, right? It just did.
Sure.
And it wasn't too long after that that I would fall asleep, or as I was falling asleep, or maybe in the middle of my sleep, I would hear that. I would literally hear, you know, like that, yeah. Three knocks,
yeah,
every time.
Yeah.
And I'd jump up out of my bed and run to the front door. And I'm thinking, open the door. Right. Like, who the hell's in it? That sounds like my front door, you know, right?
Yes.
And then the second time it happened, it sounded like my door. It wasn't just a knock. It was my door, how my door sounds when it knocks, you know? And I'm thinking, okay, somebody's playing a prank on me. Somebody's hiding in the bushes, burning bags or something, you know? I don't know. And so I started, like, kind of, you know, investigating and sleeping on the couch, and there was nothing there. And I said, okay, that knock either means I'm stirring something up or somebody's trying to tell me something. And it just kind of, it was creepy. Not as creepy as your story, but it took off from there, you know?
Sure. Sure. It was, I found that it, what I had to do was apply. All right, so when I was young, I used to hear things. You know, I used to hear people say my name. I used to hear things like hi or hello or Dan, Danny.
Oh, my gosh.
In my head, you know, and or outside of my head. And I would get a little up, you know, around 16, 17, and to the point where I basically just called it out. I shut it off. I called it out, and I says, you know, basically either have a full conversation, say a full sentence, say something more than one freaking word. I don't care if you don't have the energy to do more. Push for more. You know, I'm here. I'll listen to you. But if you ain't got nothing to say, then shut the F up, you know, because yeah. I can't be dealing with this while I'm dealing with life and you at the same time. So it stopped. Everything had stopped, you know, and then it a little while during my divorce, it had started again. But one of the things that I had started to do in earnest was pay attention to that sound. You know, you were saying that it would occur to you during that time where you were between half awake and half asleep.
Yeah, that's, you know, exactly so what happened.
A lot of great things can happen during that portion of your being, you know, because you're kind of like in a different, you're in between states, you know, so your consciousness is really open. So what I needed to do was I needed to figure out, okay, because I've heard bangs and all kinds of crazy noises and stuff like that. And, you know, things wake me up in the middle of my sleep or whatever. And I had to realize that, you know, all of these things that I'm hearing aren't reverberating the house. They're not reverberating the bed. They're not reverberating anything. But I hear it loud as day, right? And then there are times where it is outside of me. So I had to start discerning what was I hearing, what was outside of me, and what was within me. And that helped me a lot, you know, because if I knew that it was in me, then I figured, oh, well, it's probably a rogue synapse firing or whatever, you know, like I'm not just going crazy. It's just something, you know, lack of sleep or whatever. But then you would get the things that would come and you could hear them audibly outside of yourself. And those are the things where I'm usually questioning. You know, I have no idea what it is or where it's coming from or how it's done. And but the knocks had become where they were audible outside. And that was freaking me out. And that's when I started to do the Dion Fortune research and stuff like that with the psychic self-defense and learning about the ritual of banishment and stuff like that, so I could start clearing the house. So that was helpful. So I went and I did the salt water thing, and I mixed that up with her banishing. And I just went all over the house and I did everything. I did everything. Every closet, every window, every mirror, every door, every everything. The toilet bowl, you name it. I was on it, man.
Right.
And I haven't had the knock ever since.
Yeah.
Ever since.
It's you know what, this stuff that really is so subtle, you don't really pick it up. You know, I was listening to another show. You were talking about how your inner being speaks to you. Like, I know you were listening to the show earlier with Daniel Joseph, and he kind of talks about the same stuff. But, you know, your inner guide or that inner voice, man, it's speaking to you all the time. You know, it's like when you really got a question that's on your heart. It's funny, you'll walk into a room and the TV's on and it'll answer you. But sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's working through all the physical things in the universe and on this planet to try to talk to us, whether it's through color, music, sound, television shows, or even if you divine yourself through, I don't know, tarot or geomancy or whatever. I've learned that, you know, I've pulled out tarot cards for many things, but when it's something that's really on my heart, it seems like the answer is always there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you're basically meditating, the more you maintain your focus on whatever, you know, situation that you're going through with the, whatever, you know, concern that I have or whatever, the more that I keep my mind on it, the more that I keep thinking about it, the more that I'm projecting that out, you know, and I'm just putting it out there more and more towards the universe, and it'll talk to you. It'll talk to you. Source will talk to you straight up, and it'll use whatever means it can. It'll go into your dreams, and it'll let you know all kinds of stuff, trying to let you know what the heck the story is, where you're at with it. And so it, and then it's up to us to, like, really to pick up the hints and to hear the messages. So it just works like that. But the thing is, to do like you're doing is just stay on it, you know, stick with it for a couple of days or whatever, and just keep focusing on it. And you may not get the answer, but you will definitely get evidence that there is something responding to your requests, to your inquiries.
Right. Yeah. And you do question it at first, don't you? You're going, that's like, is that, yeah. Are they talking to me? Can't be, right? It's just a coincidence. You know, but
that's our first response.
Yeah. But after about 30 coincidences, you're like, okay, man, something's going on here, you know?
Yep.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about, probably, I always want to pull these, you know, freaky paranormal things out, probably the most profound moment that you have had as far as spirituality goes, whether it was an out-of-body experience. I know we've talked about one, but a lot of people haven't heard it. If that's the most profound, I'd love to hear it again. But one that really let you know there was the man, there's something way more than what we're thinking, you know.
Profound. There've been a few incidents. I don't know if I can come up with a most profound. I know there was one time I was going through the self-questioning and major in a very big way. And I had just finished going through that Gift of Tones thing and developing that and getting that all set up and everything. And I believe I had already had that interview with that entity. And what? I'm sitting in my basement in the office and putting together whatever I was putting together. I don't know if I was still working with the email marketing stuff or not. But all of a sudden, I'm dealing with, you know, things that are coming in. I'm getting sensations and stuff like that. And I had just recently gone through a session where I had witnessed the purple flame. I don't know if you know about the purple flame.
No, go ahead. Tell me about it.
There's a violet flame or a purple flame that allows healing. It's like a healing vibration that occurs, and if you witness it, basically your inner being is going through the transition of healing. And it was right after that all of a sudden I'm trying to contact, you know, the being that I know of as God, as Jesus, right? So I'm laying down and now I'm just taking a break and taking a breather and I'm meditating on Jesus. I'm trying to deal with or contact my higher self and all of that stuff. And I see, you know, the Gennaro, the San Gennaro freaking statue and stuff like that. And then I see blue, like a blue shimmer all over the place. And I didn't know what to make of it and stuff like that, but it was awe-inspiring at the time. So I'm over that experience. I'm like, okay, well, that was a cool session. I get up and I go over to the back to the office into the computer. I get to sit down and I'm getting ready to do whatever I'm going to do. Mind you, I'm still contending with all the emotional turmoil that's been going on between me and the old lady and what's going on with us financially and a whole bunch of stuff, right? And all of a sudden, this blue wave of, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like a blue wave vibration just came down like somebody opened up the bottom of a bucket of water and it just washed straight down and it just went from the top of my head all over my body, through my body and out my feet. And I'm sitting there and it was the most profound sense of love that I've ever experienced in my entire life. And it brought me to tears because I'd never experienced anything like that ever in my life. I didn't know where it came from. I didn't know where it came from, you know, and it was just there and it just happened. And it was very funny. You had on the lady Christine Day the other day, and she was like trying to tell someone to get in touch with the profound feeling experience that they had in the past. And I was like, if I wanted to get in touch with a profound feeling, that would probably be the profound feeling I wanted to get in touch with. So I didn't try it since then, but that was, to me, one of the most profound things that ever happened. And I was like really, really hardcore back into studying self and the spirit, the creator of my own spirit, and re-engaging with the communication between me and my higher self, and being able to meditate, getting through the wobblies, and then getting through the demon void, okay, and getting past that and trying to reach the Akashic records, which is what my goal was, right? I figured Edgar couldn't do it, so could I. What the
hell? Right, why not, man, you know?
So that was the goal. So that was where I was, you know, spiritually, when that wash of love had come down. So that, to me, that was probably the most profound, I think, beyond most other experiences. I mean, I've had others, very interesting stuff, but that to me was, if I could take that with me, that was that's like bliss. It was amazing. It was amazing.
That's really cool, man. And as you learn these things and you know, kind of progress, because obviously you start progressing after a while. Did you ever find people coming up to you asking you for help? I ask you for advice all the time, and it's awful selfish of me, but you give such good advice, I can't help it, you know. But as far as like, you know, hey, exorcisms, things of that nature, did you have people approach you about these things?
You know, not only after they've heard the show, they've heard me talk, but never like out of the blue. Like, I know some people that they have, you know, they're fairly gifted, and these strangers, complete strangers, will come up and talk to them and ask them questions. And that I never had that. But as far as like people coming in and ask me for help or stuff like that, sure, all the time.
Yeah, well, that's pretty interesting, man. I had a person talk to me about that the other day. He said, you know, can you do an exorcism? And I'm like, what are you? I'm not doing that. You know, like I'll talk about it on the radio, but I'm not doing it. Now that's not my thing. You know, I'm not. I'm afraid of that. And
that's extremely funny that you said that, because I just had somebody last month ask me if I could be involved in an exorcism of their someone who is considered like a daughter or a son to them. And I had to decline, because that's not what I do.
Right.
And even then, because I don't like inviting that stuff in. And even then, I was a little taken aback, because They known me already for years. They never heard me talk about doing anything like that, number one. Number two, they're already sending out the information or sending out my signature in their area that's what I'm capable of doing. So right away, that puts my signature out there. And like I was saying, I said it, I talked about this in a video recently. And I was saying that, you know, that network on the other side of evil, their network is wide, dude. And once they get a scent that there is somebody working spirituality or working heavy spiritual stuff, like a spiritualist, they got your number. You know, and they start getting curious and they start coming around and, you know, and moths to a flame. And that was kind of like what I was saying. I was like, you know, I like to be good. You know, it's good to be good for something, you know, but I tend to freaking sometimes just feel like maybe I should have bad thoughts on purpose because I don't want.
So they won't. No, mess
really,
with you.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they won't because they. You. Right, exactly. Throw them off the trail. You know, I'm an idiot, so I'll be an idiot. You know, and you know, And the other thing was just like, you know, the other thing that I had noticed was like, you know, people who are really, 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 really stupid good, they don't last long on this plane. They don't last long.
Why do you say that?
Because I've seen a lot of good people just freaking pass away. Mm. And they were just too good. They were too good. And I don't say that as in detriment to their character or their being or anything like that. But in comparison to the rest of the world, they were like one in a million, one in a billion. You know, and you just wonder how, why, you know, and they just go. And, you know, and it's all for all different reasons. It's never just like, you know, this any stereotypical reason for, you know, good people go and this is the way they go. You know, they just go.
You think it's...
They don't last long.
You think it's because they were on constant attack, and you know,
I don't know. I don't know. No, actually, I think it's closer more to finishing a phase.
Yeah. Like they
to be
were,
honest with you.
They really didn't need, they were enlightened at up to a point, maybe. I don't know.
They figured something out.
Yeah. You know, I was, you know, I know you got into Dion Fortune and was talking about psychic self-defense and things like that. And, you know, I was doing the same thing with, you know, Dion Fortune. I was doing, you know, cleansing and I would do banishing and stuff. And then I'm doing this stuff as I'm reading a book. And then later on the book, and you know, she's like, oh, by the way, you know, when you do these things, you're literally lighting up yourself in the astral realm. So things are going to start to mess with you. But just, you know, don't feed it. And I'm like, now you tell me, you know, now you telling me this, you know.
But that's the thing. You were experiencing it.
I don't know the definition of a psychic attack, and I don't know what you call it. Some people call it curses, psychic attack. You can call it anything you want. All I know is I had this idea that spiritual initiation and moving up in as far as consciousness goes was going to be a good experience in a way that it was going to make my life easier. Right. But instead what it done was it took every bad thing about me and put it right out in my face, and you had to deal with it now.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
It was horrifying. I'm still going through it, you know?
Yes. Yes. It happens because there is the, and I don't like to say like there are universal laws, but there are universal laws, and some things are still in effect. While other things, while other laws are being stepped upon by other dimensional beings, but the ones that are still in effect are things like karmic law and stuff like that. And so, if one of the things that Casey had said that was, you know, we come back and we deal with our past and stuff like that. If we were to come back and deal with all of our past all at once, we probably would not make it. You know, and so that's one of the things that I pretty much kept to heart. So it takes a little while for us to say, to get to the point where we understand that this is, we are where we need to be and we're done, you know, and we can move on to the next phase. I believe that it kind of needs to be. It's hard for you, like, say if you wanted to read the tarot cards to find out what phase you were at in your karmic debt.
Sure.
Right? So you go and you read the cards. The problem is that you're already emotionally invested in yourself. So you're going to taint your colors. You're going to taint your cards. It's you can't help it, dude. You can't help it. It's a part of your psyche. You're very invested in, you have a bond with yourself. So you're going to taint your own cards. You could do things for other people, and you could do things for, you know, like, you know, events or what's going on and getting a kind of an understanding. But when it comes to reading for ourselves in that depth, it's more advantageous for myself to go to someone else who I'm very comfortable with to work with me to figure that out where I am. Right. And it's kind of like that on purpose, because from what I understand from the teachings, it's like, you know, you don't enter into the gates of, you know, the pearly gates alone. You usually come in on the shoulders of somebody else, leaning on the shoulders of somebody else.
Well,
which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, out of all this, though, what? Because I'm asking you this question because I'm not so sure that you have the same answer as I do. But I think you might. What made you decide to do podcasting and now, you know, like radio? Well, you did radio. I call live shows radio and podcasting recorded shows. So if you're doing live radio, then it's radio to me. What made you decide to say, you know what, I want to start talking about this to the world, you know, because a lot of people are like, what, why bother? Why even share it to the world? It's not going to do any good. Just take care of yourself. You know, what made you decide to do that?
Yeah. Not knowing where I was, not knowing where to go next, understanding that one of the only things that I have done on a consistent basis since 1980, for the longest time, was spiritual work, basically. And trying to bring where my questioning started to a point where I could just record what I found out since then. And, you know, in case anybody else had the same feelings, has had the same questioning, because at the time I was just wondering what the heck was going on with God, who was God, what's the universe, you know, and what's all of this about, and what is this higher self stuff, and blah, 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 blah. And we had a couple of years before we were coming up to when I started the podcast. We had a couple of years where we were coming up to 2012, and it was a big transition. Everyone was talking blah, 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 ascension and all this nonsense and everything like that. And I'm like, everybody's talking about all this stuff that it's outside of themselves, and nobody's talking about anything about within themselves. You know, and I'm like, why are you distracting yourself from what's actually going on? Because if something happens, more than likely, you're not even going to recognize that it happened anyway. You know, so I just decided, well, other people probably have the same questions that I do. And I know that the other people have, you know, been to places that I haven't. So let me put out what I know. Talk to some other people who have other thoughts and other ideas about it, because I obviously don't have all the answers. And so, and just put that out there and see how it goes, you know, and that's how Spiritual Warrior Today started. It came with the wanting to know more.
And that's exactly the reason why I did it. It really wasn't to try to teach anything or anything like that. It was like, man, I found this place or this thing that I know is real. I can't prove it to you scientifically. Maybe one day we will, but I got to talk about it. And if I talk about it, maybe other people will come. Maybe they will.
Right.
And maybe I'll get to talk to some of these people that understand it a little bit more, that have been through it. And that's what's going on. That's what's happening. And, you know, I've only been doing this just a little while, and now you're going to be a part of it as well. And I'm excited. I think, you know, I don't know the future at all, but I've come to an understanding that it's better to think positive about the future than fearful, you know. And, you know, that comes to another question. You know, you hear the stuff, law of attraction, right? But you don't hear a lot of talk about vibration and understanding that. Do you, what do you think about this law of attraction thing? Because I think people are not understanding you attract what you vibrate. So they forget about their own vibration, you know? Of course, it could be wrong.
I have an unconventional view of the law of attraction. Basically, I'm not riding the wave. I will say that there is a law in regards to that and the vibrations and stuff. I don't necessarily take it from a place that is being projected out today in the mass market, for two reasons. One, I think people don't really understand. They don't understand it. Number two, I think it's been subjugated by other intelligences. And I can't prove either one. But I will say that by witnessing, I can honestly say that, you know, how does this work for some and very few and not work for many? And who are legitimately going at this whole hog, like fanatically, and they're not seeing any results. You know, and it's not like they're holding any, you know, it's not like they're holding any reservations, any negative thoughts or anything like that. They are totally working this. They are working it to the bone. There are people out there, like I was saying before, there are people who are gooder than good. You know what I mean? And these bad things happen to them. What's this?
Yeah.
How did that happen? How does that happen? They're doing what they're... You would think they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And how does this happen to them? How does such a disaster happen to them? And so people will come up with the excuse, oh, it's because they had this vibration and the more they had this karmic data, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, bull.
Right. Maybe
I'm
it's,
not buying it.
Maybe it's maybe we just don't know what we're doing sometimes, you know? And that's why I take everything from a scientific approach when it comes to, you know, you can call it, like, I don't even like the word magic. You can call it mysticism. I call it, you know, spirituality, like you do, the esoteric. When you really start digging in, you got to keep up. I think it's important to keep up with some kind of journal or learn something from your experience, you know.
Journaling is very, very important. Yeah, because it gives you a means of progress that you can actually monitor and keep in check. I think one of the things that allows us to get in touch with it a little bit more and like stay on the path is to pay attention more to the synchronicities in life. Because as you start studying things that are in line with yourself, more things start showing up. You start winding up meeting people and talking to people who you normally would not have. You would be introduced to more information, or you get put into environments or situations that you would not have because you're on a path. You know, and as these little synchronicities keep showing themselves, they're like little posts, you know, signposts that say, keep going, man. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. But if we're so distracted in everyday life and stuff like that, we don't see the signposts.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We got about 9 minutes up to halftime here. I wanted to get into a little bit of divination, as far as I know you've spoken about the tarot and things like that. What's your view on divination? Because it's a very controversial subject, I guess. Some people think it's just shuffling cards or whatever, and then others that they believe it to their whole heart. I mean, if you've ever had a real tarot reading from somebody that's really good, you know, you can't explain that. You try to explain that scientifically. That's my view on it. You can't. You can't. You could try, but you can't. And I'm wondering what's your view on divination as a whole.
As a whole. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah. Tell me
about this.
Yeah.
Divination as a whole was supposed to be a gift, okay? Some will be healers, some will be soothsayers, you know, some will have, you know, the gift of gab or whatever, you know, pick a gift. Right. So divination was basically, in my understanding, it may be different for anybody else, but in my understanding, it's basically just something to tap into. We live in such a plane that potentialities exist all over the place, and potentialities are like forever. Okay. So what we get to see are potentials. So there's the laws of cause and effect and stuff like that. Now, in regards to having somebody read the tarot for me or read the tarot for somebody else, basically what I'm tapping into is not some etheric area that, you know, has all of the information. Basically, I'm tapping into the person I'm doing the reading for. And once I tap into the person's energy that I'm doing the reading for, they're basically channeling to me their information that they don't even know or are not even aware of. Like their current situation, or not aware of, but they won't talk about. Okay? So their whole environment and everything like that. And this is where the intuition comes in. And you need a healthy dose of imagination, because you'll just cancel everything out as soon as you start hearing things or seeing things or reading things, and the cards will tell you what's going on. So basically, while you're doing the reading and stuff, and they're giving you the information and they're sending it to you, you know, and you're putting it out there as they're either pulling the cards or you're pulling the cards for them, it's getting all laid out. And as it gets laid out, the story becomes more and more vivid. And the more that you've done it, the more that you can, the more clearer is the message you can give to somebody. But divination as a whole is basically you getting in touch with potentiality. And potentiality is basically just, you know, multiple timelines all at once, which is basically all it is. And so for you to tap into that space, is it real? Does it work? Do people have it? Some are more gifted than others. Some will tell you what's happening tomorrow. Somebody could tell you what's going to be in the front page of tomorrow's paper. And some people, you know, they can only go a certain distance, or they can only go a certain time length, you know, or they can only tell you, you know, what's going on with you at the moment, you know. And it's different for everyone. If somebody wants to develop these skills, then they should practice it. But one thing I will say about it is, if you do find or are curious about it and you're young, don't try to tell other people that you have it. Let them come to you with the curiosity. Don't let them know that you're right off the bat, that you're gifted or whatever. Because that's the number one way for you to start getting beat down with all kinds of negativity and naysayers who are going to shoot you down and refuse you from your own gift. Then you'll listen to them, because listen to what we're talking about. It sounds like freaking, you know, it sounds like woo-woo land that, you know, nobody would want to freaking believe. But it exists. You know, it is an actual part of spirit that we all have at some level or another. Are some people completely blocked off from it? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I find that when I try to divine answers for myself, I don't get the answers I want, you know.
I told you about that.
Yeah. I get the answers I need, you know. It's like, why, you know, you'll ask a question and then you'd be like, hey, what about this thing? This is really on my mind or with my heart or whatever. Talk to me. And you're reaching out to source, and source will go, you don't need to be focusing on that. This is what you need to be focusing on, right? But if another person you know, it's like if I ever do it, and I don't do it much, but if I ever do it for another person, it's so freaking, it's like crystal clear, you know. I don't get it. I mean, that I don't understand. I guess it's a matter of where it's coming from, you know.
Well, that's what I used to do, too. I'm right there with you, bro, because I used to, I got to the point where I would ask particular questions, and in the method that I was using, I would get like three answers. And you can do divination in anything. You could use, you know, coins or whatever you want to do. And at the time, I was using rune stones. And so when I was doing the rune stones and pulling the stones, I kept asking questions, and it kept telling me the same three things no matter how much I shook the bag. It kept telling me prayer, meditation, patience, prayer, meditation. And then I started doing the I Ching, and it started doing the same thing. And I'm like, I can't get away from this, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like some, it's like Source is smacking you in the face. Like, you know, hey, look at this. Focus right here. Much. This is what I need you to look at. I know you're wanting to do this and all this other stuff. And it really helps. It helps if you'll listen to it, you know.
Yeah.
But rune stones are cool. You know, I've got my own stones. I've kind of studied them, but I've never really used them. Also, you know, like geomancy stones, like the Golden Dawn used, got some, but okay. never used them. Mm-hmm. I kind of, it's almost like I kind of stick, once I found the tool that worked, I just kind of stuck with it, you know?
Nothing wrong with that.
But I am fascinated with the I Ching. I really am. It's, I mean, I know I've heard Terrence McKenna talk about it in the time wave, and it's so cool. I mean, they're really on to something with that, you know?
Yeah, it's been around for a while. And the definitions and the draw, I found, is a lot more detailed. It tells you, you know what I mean? It just tells you straight up what's going on. It's in, you can go and look up the information for it and stuff like that, but it's not like you have to do a whole lot of interpreting, because, well, basically you have to do a lot of relating, you know, as opposed to interpreting, because it's telling you straight up what's going on. So you just have to, you know, relate it to what's going on and where you're at. So in that regard, it's easier. I find it's easier. I find it's a lot more work on your imagination to use other, like the tarot cards and stuff like that, and the runes and stuff. But as far as the I Ching, I think it was more, I wouldn't say intuitive. I'd say it's more straightforward.
Right. Well, you know, we're hitting a lot of subjects here, and we're at halftime. We're going to take an interlude. And I want to talk to you about as much stuff as I can, man, while we got you, and start talking about your show a little bit more, and maybe some of the plans you're thinking about doing with it and stuff like that. So, does that sound good to you, Dan? Oh,
bring it. That's why I'm here.
By the way, Dave and Deb, we're thinking about you right now, and I hope everything works out okay. Dave is, you know, keeping us updated on Deb again. She's not feeling real well, and she keeps having to go back to the doctor in the ER, and he's trying to be real humble, saying, I'm sorry, I'm bothering you guys about this. But we're here for you, brother. We love you. And we're going to send lots of light and love and prayer to you, okay? So don't even worry about that. Everything's going to be all right, bro. When we come back for a little bit more with Dan Lopez from Spiritual Warrior Today, you guys do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, Friend Jeff from listeners. Did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or no Wi-Fi available, you can still listen to every minute of the Fringe FM by calling 701-719-3971. No smartphone, app, or internet needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call 701-719-3971. That's 701-719-3971. Listen to the Fringe FM on any phone, anytime, anywhere.
Hi, this is David Ullman with HouseAtTheEndOfTheDrive.com. You're listening to KTLK, The Fringe FM.
buddy. We're back. We got Dan here with us from Spiritual Warrior today. And, man, Dan, it's been cool talking to you. I want to think about, you know, we were talking about divination, stuff like that. What about UFOs? You get into that a little bit, right? I don't hear you. I mean, I haven't listened to all your shows, but do you believe in the UFO phenomena?
Sure. I have since I was about 10.
Really?
Why not? Yeah. We had, I think my first upfront and personal, was when I was 10. I was over in Puerto Rico. We seen one of the orange orbs across the road. Now, across the road, there was a big old farm. There was one of these big old orange orbs just floating across the freaking farm over there. And the farm was like totally, you couldn't not wonder about the farm because it always had this big Brahma bull. I don't know how the heck they had a Brahma bull, but they had a Brahma bull out there, and it would charge the fence every once in a while. So when you're walking home from the beach, you always kept one eye on the fence because you never knew when that bull was going to charge the fence. And you're like, okay, one day he's going to go through it. So sure, man, one time I'm coming home and the orb was just there and trucking along real slow, like slower than a normal vehicle would go. And I just captured my attention. I'd say, how far am I from the road? About 100 feet. Yeah, say about 100 feet. It's not far, right? Maybe 30, a little over 30 yards.
Yeah, I'm just picturing this.
Yeah, so it's about 30 yards, a little over 30 yards away. And it's about 25 feet above the ground, above the crops. And just moving slowly. And I didn't know what to make of it. I couldn't focus on it. It was a ball, but it was kind of like blurry, like it had no definition. So, I'm like, that's the slowest freaking crop duster helicopter I've ever seen. It's definitely not a plane. There was no lights on it or anything like that. There was no sound.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fathom for the life of me what the heck it was. And when I called out to my uncle, who was there at the time, and I asked him what it was, and he comes out and he's like, "Oh, UFO." And I'm like, "UFO,
UFO yeah."
I kind of put together what he was saying, but I was like, "Yeah, I mean," and at the time I had a couple of years earlier, I guess I was like 7 or 8. My father had already came home with a couple of books like Chariots of the Gods and We Are Not Alone and stuff like that. So I was pretty much, I guess, indoctrinated for lack of a better term, to things beyond, you know, here. So seeing this was just, you know, like, okay,
yeah.
Now what?
What do we do now? Is anybody going to
believe
me?
Exactly. Right? Well, I don't know. Well, I had my uncle right next to me, so he was watching it along with me. And then, you know, there's nothing but private houses all along the road. So everybody, there was just a bunch of people coming out to the road, taking a look and see what was going on. And it just kept going for about another 100 feet. And then it just took off. It made a 45-degree bolt straight, 45 degrees, stopped at some point, and then went zigzag, and then just disappeared, just gone. And I was like, well, that was interesting. I was like, at least I'm not alone. I wasn't the only one who saw it. And everybody was just like, no, you know, there was like no cheer, no nothing. Everybody just walked back into their house as if, you know, okay, show's over. I was holy crap. Yeah, okay.
Right, what's up with that? You know, the before we move into the paranormal, that kind of field there, you know, I was speaking to Daniel Joseph earlier about, you know, communicating with past relatives passed away in your life, you know, it seems like it's not what you would think when you first do it, if you try to do it too quick. I don't know if you were listening to that. Do you have any opinions on that at all, or have you had any experience with it?
We had one time with a Ouija board, but it was a completely different, you know, communication.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to communicate with my relatives, and I've pretty much haven't gotten a reply that I can say that I know is here. I mean, there were times where I've heard a cough in the bathroom, like a cough. Nobody else heard it, mm-hmm. but I heard it. There's been the smell of my grandmother's perfume in the house. There's been my grandfather's tobacco in the room. And it's always like it's very local, right? The scent is very local to just one spot. And the tobacco is just, the scent is just in one spot.
Yeah.
Outside of that, not really a two-way conversation, I would say.
Sure.
So, I guess I don't know what else.
It's interesting. He said, when I asked him about, because some people believe that's evil, like you're a necromancer or whatever.
That's what it says in the scripture. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, when I listened to Robert Monroe's book, when he met his father that passed away, and his father was younger and more vibrant looking, but I think he kind of met him too early. Like he was talking about, he went and tried to talk to him too early. So the conversation, you know, his father hugged him and said, I'm glad to see you and all that. And see, this is how I find out about truths, because Daniel's never listened to that book. He's never listened. You know, when you start hearing the same stories from these people, you know something's real, right? At least I do. And he said, yeah, well, you meet them and you see them, and they're much vibrant, more younger self. But it was fascinating to me how he talked about how your sorrows, when you're in sadness and sorrow from missing them, that you tend to, it keeps them from moving on. It's almost like it draws them to you, you know? So I'm wondering, you know, when you're hearing or smelling these perfumes or having these moments, were you aware of what state of being you're in as far as emotional, or do you remember that at all?
It varies. It wasn't like, you know, it only happens when I'm sad or it only happens when I'm mournful or anything like that.
Mm.
It happens in all different types of states of mind. I can't say that it happens only during a particular moment in time. I don't prescribe to that. I mean, I've told you about the time when I overdosed on alcohol and I separated from my body. There was no connection. There was no connection. There was no connection to any emotion in that state. There was none. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the way it is for all spirit, because obviously you have some pretty rambunctious spirits. So, that are out there, but I can't say that it's a cookie cutter thing, that it's always that way, that you would keep people there, because once they pass, I'm pretty much of a mind that if they have a normal passing or whatever, you know, it's not like an accident or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they have a normal passing or whatever, their position of going is pretty much gone. It's already in the phase of happening. And it's not like you're really going to distract them from freaking seeing whatever, because your love, as powerful as it is, I don't think is going to be as noticeable to them as whatever they're experiencing at the moment while they're in that state.
Exactly, because they're not
They're not registering you.
No, they're in a different realm.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're so happy that...
And detached.
And detached from the earth that you don't... They don't even pick up on your sadness sometimes, you know? Or maybe it just doesn't register to them. Maybe it draws them to you a little bit and they don't even know it, but it doesn't really register. So it's almost like sometimes when you reach out too early, like he was saying, you might get a little disappointed, I guess. Because I went on a search for my mother, you know, when I first started leaving my body, I was like, where is she? You know, I want to talk to her. I want to see her. I want to see my mother when she was happy and young. And I had this feeling around me that we've got other things to do right now. You know, let's work on something else before we get to that point. Almost like there was a guide telling me it's not time for that yet, but it's going to come, you know? So I take comfort in that. You know, that day is going to come. But I've never had any feelings of her around me like that, though, at all.
Have you bothered to try doing any dream work?
Yeah. But the problem
is... to your mom?
Yeah. But the problem is when I do that, I guess it's not a problem, but when I do that, it always brings someone else into the picture, almost like someone's trying to protect me from it. You know, like whether it's my grandmother that passed away or her sister or actually, you know, I'll just be honest with you, my ex's father, people that were really close to me that understood me in a way like that, they show up, but not her. You know, it's almost like everything is telling me, you know, they're always just kind of patting me on my little head saying it's not time yet, you know? And that's kind of weird to me, to be honest with you, because listening to Robert Monroe, he just thought about his father and poof. And then there he was, he found him.
We're all on different paths. You know, it's just like we were talking about the Edgar Casey thing where he just put his head down on the books and he knew every word of the book.
Yeah,
he could tell
insane.
You what page the word was, what paragraph it was on and everything like that. And yeah, that's insane. So everybody's kind of different. So I don't know. I do know, and I've tried that and, you know, try to bring them into my dreams or whatever. And you know what happens? I usually don't even remember the damn dream.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's almost like you think you can control it, but you've only got a little bit of control when it comes to that. You know?
Yeah. I think it just takes a little time and practice and patience.
But I feel, again, that it's extremely important to, I don't care if you write it down or use a voice recorder, because if you don't, you won't learn anything from it, because later on you'll have a dream and you'll be like, you know what, this happened, this corresponds with this, and I totally forgot about it. And you flip back through your journal and you start seeing the correlations between everything, you know?
Yep.
What about people that say that they just don't dream? They don't remember their dreams. They don't dream at all. I mean, what's up with that? I can't even imagine that. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you've talked to people that say that.
Yeah, I've gone through periods where it's been dreamless. I'm just so exhausted, you know, I'll just get 4 hours in and that's it. There's nothing. But I do have them.
Yeah.
Heather can attest, I do have them, and they're pretty out there. Some are epic and some are just weird. And and some are kind of telling. But for everybody and for those who don't dream at all, usually there's more going on in their life and they're not saying everything, because there's always a reason why you're not hitting that deep sleep space. And it could be anything. It could be physical, it could be, you know, medical, it could be stress, it could be anything. Mostly a lot of people have a lot of stress.
Yeah.
You know, life is just stressful, and stressful does not allow you to freaking rest very well. And so that'll affect your dream state a lot. And the only thing I can prescribe to that is to start meditating, you know, try meditating, just get quiet,
relax,
you know, best you can. that's not easy for a lot of people. A lot of people are addicted to stress.
Yeah. Yeah, they dwell on it. You know, I did that, man. I used to dwell on stuff to the point where I would have freaking panic attacks, man, like a just freak out, you know, and people are like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? You know, is he having a heart attack or, you know, what's going on? And your body, it's so amazing how powerful your body is, because the body goes, oh, you know, this guy's about to die. Let's push all the blood to his brain and lungs. And once we do that, he's going to feel like he can't breathe. And then you start telling your brain, I can't breathe. And the brain goes, oh, he can't breathe. So let's give him some more oxygen, right? So you start taking in more oxygen, and your eyes dilate, and it's all a bunch of shit just because you're sitting there dwelling about the most negative, ridiculous stuff you could think about, and you won't let it go. And, you know, I had a mini stroke because of that. My whole left side of my body went numb because of that crap, you know. It shows you the true power of the brain. But I want to get back to your story about I would like you to tell it if you don't mind, because there's some more listeners, new listeners here on the network. And Heather says she can't imagine a night without dreams. Me either, you know. The story where you kind of left your body and you heard the screaming. You mind telling us that just one more time? It's like I'm sitting at a campfire right now. You want to hear this story. I think I like it because it freaks me out a little bit. I like that for some stupid reason.
It was, all right, I was 19. I was young. And broke. And usually when you go to hang out with your friends, basically you had to bring something with you, or, you know, you were not going to get high. And we were a get high crowd. So, you know, that was the one thing that bonded us all, is that we all got high, and we all had, we really did. We all had abusive homes. So it was, you know, it was just like that. So basically what I did was I decided that this, what's it called? Something blue. It was a blue vodka. I forgot what the heck it was.
Sky Blue.
Was it good? No. Was it? Not Sky Blue.
Blue Sky, maybe, I think.
Not Smirnoff. Whatever was the competitor to Smirnoff's at the time. And Absolute. Thank you. Absolute Blue. So there was a bottle of Absolute Blue in, and I'm thinking, well, it's clear. I can just put water in and nobody will notice that it's freaking, you know, that it's been hit. So I remember getting into the second glass, but I don't remember finishing it. And apparently, from what I was told, I finished the rest of the bottle in 15 minutes.
Yikes.
And it was a fresh bottle. So...
So you didn't tell me this part. I mean, I knew the ending.
No,
but you
didn't
tell me how fast.
I didn't have time to go into the story. It just, you know, it was just the point where, you know, I was coming out of it, because it took them about 3 hours to get me from the second. We were on the third floor, to get me from the third floor apartment to the ambulance that they were going to take me over to Queens General Hospital. So then it took two cops, two EMTs, my father, who was over 6 foot and 250 pounds, and my neighbor, who was 6'4", 275. And it took them 3 hours to get me, and I was biting, kicking, scratching, and punching, and anything I could just to get away, only to get about 2 feet, trip over my own feet, and be face down on the floor. So there were many hours that transpired over that time. But at one point, I'm blacking out, right? I'm blacking out. And I'm coming back out of it, and, you know, I'm doing this. I'm blacking out of it, and I come out of it, and I'm doing that. And this last time I blacked out, I opened my eyes, or what I thought were my eyes, and I'm in this black void. And just chilling. Everything is cool. Nothing's going on. I'm just sitting there and, like, you know, happy-go-lucky. You know, I felt like I was in a recliner. I didn't know what the heck was going on, but this was fine. I could deal with this.
So you're in a black void that was comfortable, right? Kind of like,
Oh, it was the shit. it was great.
Interesting.
And, so I'm sitting there and, you know, enjoying myself. And then all of a sudden, I don't think I was there for more than a couple of minutes. You know, all of a sudden I hear something in the background. I hear a noise in the background, and it's a droning noise. So it starts getting louder and it's getting louder and it's getting louder. And as I'm trying to make out what it is, it starts sounding more and more like a voice, a loud voice. And the voice is getting louder and louder and louder. And I realize it's, you know, it's something, someone's screaming. There's someone screaming. I'm like, who the hell? What the hell? Who the hell is screaming? So as the voice keeps getting louder and louder, you know, all of a sudden I'm focusing more on it just to make out what's going on. And as I'm focusing on it to see what's going on, all of a sudden I'm being pulled. And as I'm being pulled, you know, the louder it keeps getting. So to the point where it's like I'm listening and all I can hear is, I'm like, jeez. Okay, what the hell? And all of a sudden it's just like, boom, my eyes open. I felt like it, like something had just sucked me down into this pipe and it was just like, boom, you were there. And, I was body slammed and, my eyes opened and it was me and I was yelling and I opened my eyes and it was me yelling and I'm finishing the sentence and I'm saying, I gotta pee. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm looking down and, you know, I got all kinds of tubes and stuff like that sticking out of my hands. I'm all tied down with on a gurney, you know, there's blood and stuff all over the place. And then I'm like, you know, what the hell's going on? You know, and they would like, are you there? Is that you? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. They had wound up telling me what had transpired.
They saved your life, man. You were in purgatory or something,
else.
Man.
Yeah, I was somewhere else. They had just finished telling my parents that probably the best thing to do would be to get all my effects together and make arrangements because there's probably a good chance that I was not ever coming home.
Jesus. All over some vodka, you know?
Yeah.
And they won't legalize weed. I've never heard a story about anybody going through this with marijuana. You know, I know this is kind of off the subject, but how ridiculous is that? You know?
Yeah.
And then not only, dude, I really think that whatever the, you know, in the emergency rooms, they're pumping you full of all kinds, they got all kinds of tricks to bring you back, you know?
Yep.
And you're in a holding state. It reminds me of that show Stranger Things when that girl goes into that black void, you know? And it's all just kind of chill. You know, but there's this thing chasing.
I haven't seen that show yet, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, you should watch it because that might actually look familiar to you. But that's freaky.
I don't know if I want to repeat that.
that's so freaky. But yeah, so after that happened, was that when you started taking a nosedive into spirituality after that happened?
No, I didn't start my search until after I started getting clean. I needed another 4 years to hit the skids. And then back in 86, I was given an alternative. I don't know how to frame it. Given an alternative, an ultimatum. Either keep doing what you're doing or there's a better way, you know, there's a better way to live. So what do you want to do? So at the time, I was just like, I couldn't stop. You know, alcoholism, I could stop, you know, smoking and drinking and doing the pills and drugs and all that stuff. I was able to stop, you know, I'd go back to it, but I could stop. You know, but this white powder crap in the pipe, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And so I was like, you know, I didn't know what a drug addict was. I thought that was somebody who shot heroin into their arms and stuff like that and was strung out down on the Bowery, you know, but it was actually somebody who just can't stop. So I decided to take the chance. And so I did that and I wound up getting clean. It was like the best time to get clean, but I wound up getting clean. And then I didn't start doing a heavy search into God and paranormal and stuff like that until about 3 years later, because it took me a little while, because I pretty much right away when I started it, the only thing that I knew, I knew how to roll a joint, and I knew that I had known the Our Father. And that was it. Those are the only two things that I could remember that I knew. That was it. Everything else, I was a complete idiot outside of that.
You had all the tools right there with you.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
But that was all I could think that I could do. That's all I was good for, you know?
Well, yeah, where do you see? You resurrected Spiritual Warrior today, and it's on all most of the podcast directories, and, you know, you're still kind of uploading shows. Slowly kind of sprinkling them in there. What do you think you're going to do going forward? Are you just going to pick up where you left off, or you've been thinking about some new material? Maybe, obviously it's all new material, but new subject matter.
It's I think I'm going to pretty much go where I left off,
right?
Because it was working. You know what I mean? It was working. People were interested. People were sticking around to listen to what was being shared. So that I thought would be the best place to go. Of course, it's going to take me a bit to get back into that. But that's pretty much where I'm going to relaunch, because it felt really easy for me to get back into the information that I had lined up, because I was pretty much grabbing a set amount of subject matter that I had listed. And I was just going from there and working that out, as well as, you know, using material that was, you know, current day and stuff like that, and then relating it to what would happen in the past and how it affected me and how I would react today as opposed to how I would have reacted back in the past, you know, so people could relate to how, you know, they can relate to your personality, you know, before getting clean, and then seeing how, you know, there's a different way of looking at it, you know, and everybody goes through the different things. Everybody goes through the different situations. And so they say, you know, and one of the things that I would always say was like, you know, it's your experience. You're experiencing it, you know. So if you're experiencing it, then it's real, you know.
No,
it's not like,
it.
You know, it's not like it's all in your head. It's not all in your head. You know, some things might be, it's just a perception. You know, it's your perception of what's going on, but not everything is, you know, it's not just you. This is the one thing that I've always said. It's not just you. You're not alone in all of this stuff. It's just that you're getting to notice things that other people aren't willing to recognize.
So, yeah. So when you say you're not alone, you don't mean like metaphysically, you mean, hey, there are other people out there going through the same thing. And thinking
That's
about
right.
the same stuff and going
That's
down
right.
the same roads you are.
That's right. So like, you're not alone. So if you feel like you're alone, you're really not, you know. And one of the things I always used to close off with is, you know, I used to say, you know, you don't have to love me, but, you know, at least try to love yourself.
That's a good closing statement. Hey, look at there. Yeah. Deb Cruz is out of the hospital. Thank God. It looks like they got her on some medicine. Maybe she's, I hope they figure out what's going on. I think she's been getting really bad headaches, and, that sucks, man. And it's like a toothache that never goes away, a migraine
oh,
that never
Lord.
Goes away. I've got someone very close to me that's going through a lot of pain, and you don't know what to do, man. You know,
no,
you feel helpless. You feel like, what can you do? And so I can only imagine what Deb is going through. Not only that, but what Dave is going through, especially when you care about somebody, it's hard to cope with it.
Sure.
I get pissed at doctors. That's what I do. And I'm sure the doctors, they understand. I'm sure they get that a lot, but it always seems to me like, well, you know, why aren't you doing this? Well, I told you not to give them that, you know, or whatever. And you start feeling like they're not doing their job, you know, or something's not right. And that happens. But that experience you had at the emergency room, those doctors were doing their job, man. I think they brought you back for sure. Like, I don't know what all they pump you with when you're that stuff. I had the same thing that happened to me when I went. I got wheeled off in an ambulance to a small hospital, and about 18 years old. And they said, I don't even know how you're still breathing. You got enough drugs in your system to kill a horse. You know, you can't leave. And I'm like, I feel fine. Yep. You know, let me out of here. And they had me strapped down to a bed in there, you know.
Yep. That's what they told me when I went into the the clean house, when I went to the rehab. They didn't want to put me in general public. They said that they've never seen anybody with the levels of crap in me that and walking and talking.
like where is your blood?
Yeah, they said as long as this building has been here, and they had it open, I don't know, what, 3 years or whatever. And they said that this was the highest that they've ever seen anybody's levels with cocaine content.
So a little bit about spiritualwarriortoday.com. You know, you're still working on the website, getting it back up going. I'm pretty impressed with the website. I'm glad you're doing this. I really am looking forward to your subject matter and what you're going to talk about. I think that there's so many stories you still haven't shared with us, and I hope you keep doing it, man, because it takes a lot for someone just to put it all out on the table like that, day in and day out. Like, when I do my show, I'm going to be honest with you, I depend on guests. I depend on guests for material and content, and I need, it's like I need that, but I've thought about, you know, just, hey, get on the mic and just spill your guts, you know, and then it's really scary. How scared were you when you first started doing that?
I don't know how scared I was. I was probably scared.
Were you scared?
Scared. I was probably just more, it was the battle of knowing that it's not the same as being in a support group as opposed to going out in public and saying what I'm going to be saying. Because the acceptance and the honesty and the open-mindedness is, and the unconditional love is not the same in the public as it is in a closed support group. In a closed support group, everybody's on the same boat. We just, you know, we're all riding on the same river. We're just coming in on different boats, right?
Yeah.
So in this, it's kind of the same way, but nobody really recognizes it for that. You know what I mean? They recognize it for, you know, they recognize it from where they're coming from. And most people don't come from a place of support. You know, they don't come from that place. They come from that place where you got to keep your mouth shut or otherwise people think you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. So what do you think about the network, Dan?
I love the network. I love the network. I love Dave. I love Deb. I love your show. I'm getting used to all the other guys who are on there and everything like that, and ladies and stuff. And I think the messages of the network is powerful. I think I resonate with it because it also says the same thing that I'd like to say, which is you're not alone. You know, we're not alone, you know. We're all going through the same thing, and we're all trying to just get better, you know. And that's something I thought I could get with. And if it wasn't for you and Dave and Devin, I would never have gotten back into this.
I'm glad you did, man. I'm glad you did, and I look forward to more shows. I don't want to give away any of the subject material on the show, so it's kind of hard to come up with subjects to talk about. But I don't want to get back to the UFO experience you had. Did you say what color that orb was? I forgot.
It was orange.
It was orange, that's right. That's orange. Yeah. I still haven't seen anything like that. Why? The only thing I ever saw was that star that wheeled around and looked at me. That was it.
So, Bob, why do you minimize that?
I'm not minimizing it. You know, I don't, I just.
Like what you're saying, that's the only one I saw.
Yeah, like I want to see orbs and shit, you know, like I want to. And then everybody's like, oh, be careful what you wish for. Why? I want to see it, you know. You saw it. I want to see it. You know, I've seen people talk about they've seen creepy green lights, orbs, triangle, you know, crafts and all kinds of stuff. And there's show after show about it. It's all out there. And I don't think I don't ever see that stuff. Yeah. Craig says a star looked at
that.
You. Yeah, it did. It wheeled around on me like a spotlight, man. And then it just wheeled back around and it didn't go anywhere. I figured it would fly off or disappear, but it was, it just stayed there. It's probably still up there. I don't know which one it was. I'm not trying to minimize it, bro. I don't think it's like a, you know, well, oh, look at that star. It looked at me. All right, well, let's go back and have a beer. You know, it's not like that at all.
That might have been what they said.
You know. Yeah, they kind of looked down and said, well, who is this? You know, move on, you know. But
well,
it don't happen no more. You know, I saw
it's always
a star,
there.
But I think it, that was a satellite.
Well, I don't know. But the thing is that I told you about it the other day. I was like, give yourself the time. Give yourself the time, you know, an hour, 2 hours. Just look up, man. Just look up and watch the direction that things are moving in. And you'll see something. You'll see something because that sky is very active. I don't care what anybody says, but that sky is active. And the more or the less light pollution you have from like towns and stuff like that around you, the better off you are. But even if you have like a patch, like we get together, I mean, my friends, we get together and we go out and we have like the big sky.
Yeah.
You know, and you have this whole big space that you can,
hell,
you know,
yeah,
you take a look at, you know, and, but when I'm home, you know, you only have the opening of the trees that surround the house, you know, so you're limited in your view. So you can't see to the horizon because I'm in a mountainous area and we're not at the top of the mountain. So, but we'll go out on the porch. We'll go out on the front porch and just look out at the top of the house and just look up. And sure enough, we'll be seeing, I've seen stuff all the time. Even brought my daughter out there to take a look at stuff and she's seen stuff. So it's, you know, it's just, but we take our time. It's not like I go out there for like 15 minutes and say, oh, I didn't see anything. But you know, I just like an hour or two, just chill out.
Man, your daughter's voice that you have in the intro is so adorable, man.
It don't sound like that no more.
She's grown now, huh?
Oh, yeah. She's 14 now.
Yeah, my son turned 13 today, and I just thought I was in tears on the way home thinking about it. Like, God, you know, his childhood went by so fast. I feel like I missed so much of it, you know?
Time does go fast.
But I think that you're right. I did do that once. I don't remember if I saw anything. But my favorite, I've got a spot out here. I got to go about 8 miles outside of town, and I don't really tell nobody about it. But I go out there when there's a real, you know, crystal clear night, usually on a new moon when the moon's black, you know,
all right,
and just sit up there and stare for an hour or two. It's the perfect eye-opening meditation. Like if you like to focus on things when you meditate, there's nothing better, in my opinion, than the night sky to do that with, you know. And as evil as Crowley sounds, the man, you know, that's what he told people to do. He's like, you know, go out there and try it. But if I found a group around here that would be willing to do that, I would love to do that. But everybody out here thinks I'm batshit crazy, you know, in my little area.
Right. That's okay. Let them think what they want.
Yeah,
sometimes it's better that way.
It's like, okay.
It removes the riffraff.
Right. Well, man, what do you think about, I was going to ask you about astrology. Do you get into that at all?
A little bit, not a lot of it. I'm fairly of the same mind of Daniel Joseph, mm-hmm. where it is, and I've said this before, and I say this over and over and over again, there are influences. There are influences from within. There are influences from without. There are planetary influences. There are solar influences. There are lunar influences, planetary influences. But mostly that's what they are. And nothing surpasses the influence of your will. Now, we can allow them if we focus on them, you know, like people get all bent out of shape because of Mercury retrograde and stuff like that. I think that's like the number one freaking influence, you know,
everybody
that's been social media freaking. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't ever notice it. I don't ever hear or feel what anybody's doing because I'm too busy being about my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's because what he was saying.
It is,
you know, you deal with
it is what it is. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're always dealing with your elementals, and you see a lot of people that study magic, they try to go through that stuff real fast, and they don't listen to what they're being taught, that you can't start messing around with planets and all this other stuff and trying to use them or do certain things at certain times until you deal with your elemental nature. And that itself, man, is probably the biggest and most important thing you need to do is deal with yourself down here. Here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Deal with that.
I agree.
Because they'll pass it up and start doing, you know, astrological, planetary magic. And the next thing you know, they're in the nut house. Or something happens, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, something happens. They start delving into areas and they go in unprepared. You know, and it's like people opening up their kundalini without getting any understanding. It's like people opening up portals and not having any understanding. It's like people messing around with the astral realm and not having any protection or not thinking that they need any protection or whatever. But, you know, I was in a forum group one time, and some kid was talking about he wants to know about how he can develop his skill levels, his skills and his gifts and everything like that. I'm like, well, why don't you just try testing yourself and see which ones you have a strength in and then work on those. The guy turned around and yelled at me. He was like, don't limit me. I'm like, what? I'm not limiting you, dude. I'm just offering a suggestion that you might want to not burn yourself out. You know what I mean? Because you start opening up everything, you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, you had asked me this question earlier, if there was like an age limit, you know, where people would get to a certain point before things actually made sense to them or they would heed any advice or suggestions or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I even Edgar Casey said, you know, there comes a time where you have to reach a certain age before you could even begin the great work. And what he meant by the great work, to my understanding, is the self-awareness work. You know, you're working on your self-awareness. And before you can start helping other people, get yourself to the point where you understand yourself. Nobody can tell you nothing after that because, I mean, not in a destructive manner, you know what I mean, or in a naysayer manner. But, in you know, so you can continue going in the fashion that you're going to learn about yourself and bring that out from your own point of view, from your own experience, you know. And that's what I was saying. It's like this. I've always said this. I am not for everyone. I will tell you straight off the bat, I am not for everyone, okay? Not everyone will get me, and I'm completely okay with that. But there is somebody out there for everyone. You know what I mean? You know, there's...
Oh, I can definitely relate to that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, some people may get with Crowley. Some people may get with freaking Ponzer. Some people may get with freaking, you know, Madame Blavatsky. Mm-hmm. You know, to each his own. I live and let live, you know. Not everybody has to try to encompass everybody. Not anybody has to try to encompass everybody.
Madame Blavatsky seemed to have gotten a real bad rap, didn't she? You know?
She was extremely knowledgeable. She did a lot of freaking work. She was just a little bit... She got a bad rap, but because, you know, she wound up with some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and people, they put that out there, they get a bad rap. You know, it's like Crowley and Blavatsky, but Edgar Casey was a little bit different. You know, he got a bad rap at first because people just didn't believe what he was doing until all the doctors and scientists went down there and started investigating the guy.
They he had a bad it. Rap afterwards, too. I mean, yeah. It was people still didn't, nobody, even after he died, people still didn't want to get with the psychic realm. They just didn't want to touch it. You know, and then he went off, he was doing the medical readings, and he was doing very well with that. And people wanted to get in touch with other stuff. So they started asking him about all kinds of other stuff. So he was tapping into all kinds of areas that may or may not have been the best of his work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the medical stuff, he was killer.
Yeah.
He was killer. He was doing it. And people would, you know, there were incidents, if you read the books, the follow-ups to the reports, they would tell you, you know, some people didn't follow through all the way and some people didn't make it because they didn't follow the stuff. And it's transcribed. I mean, it's all written. You know, there's records of, you know, these people who have taken what he said and used it, and some people who have taken what he said and just didn't, you know, and the, mostly the ones who didn't, you know, would find the bitter end as opposed to those who actually followed through.
If you guys want to, I'm sorry, we're towards the end. If you guys want to call in, I totally apologize. You want to call in and ask Dan a question, make any comments, you can call right now at 831-777-VOID, 831-777-8643 if you want to call in. Call in. Let us hear your little voice. We want to hear it.
Yeah, Joe's very selfish. He just wants to take and manipulate the whole show.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm doing. Well, I was asking Dan, you know, earlier, Dan to call in when Daniel Joseph was on because I had a hiccup when that show started. And I lost a few. That's what happens when your show starts. You got a hiccup. Listeners take a dive. And therefore, yeah. I lost a few callers, you know.
Yeah.
But it worked out. It all worked out. And the recording work got even better.
I couldn't jump in at the time. I was trying to finish up things that were going on over here with the little one staying over. I usually have her on Wednesday. So I was scrambling before I could get on for the show. And so I was like, now you're going to ask me to wash your clothes?
Yeah, you were like, save you. What are you talking about, man?
I was like, now you want me to call in? I'm like, I guess, hello, I'm torn here. So,
well, I don't really worry about callers, to be honest with you. I learned something from Phil Hendry on that, you know. But if they want to call in, it's there. I like talking to them when they do want to call in. We get a lot of the same people that call in that really share a lot of cool stuff. So, but the show doesn't run on callers. You know that, right? So,
right.
But man, I mean, we're down towards the end of this thing. Do you want to talk about, tell the audience what you got going, where they can find you, the plans on this thing? Anything you want to talk about your radio show?
Sure. Thank you. There's spiritualwarriortoday.com. You guys want to check out what has transpired in the past. It's all pretty much there. A lot of the stuff is winding up, thanks to Joe, all over the place. So you can check out a lot of the archive information on iTunes and
Stitcher,
TuneIn and
Play.
Spreaker and Google Play, and we're all over the place. So if you have a problem in one spot, you know, you could always find it somewhere else. I'm pretty much almost all over the place now. So, and that's to no help of my own. That's mostly Joe doing all of that. I'm just like helping. So you could do that. As far as like a date when we're going live, I'm not ready yet. I mean, I just had an episode the other day, so I'm like trying to be able to get through this transition because we went through some weather transition and it just knocked me out to where I turned on the mic and I couldn't even talk. So, but we're coming back and I'm going to start off just where I left off. And I just want to thank everybody for the amazing support that they're offering and giving, and to you, to Dave, to Deb. and to Dave Scott, who was very nice. And I just wish the network the best of luck. You know, this is quite interesting and a blessing. Yeah. All the same, and all the listeners who are participating in the calls and in the chat rooms, it's great to watch. You know, it's like I get in there and I listen to the shows and I watch the people go in there and they go from one show to another show to another show, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of family oriented, you know, yeah. You know, in that matter, and it's really, really awesome. It's really awesome to experience, let alone watch occur. So yeah, you get to know people even though you don't know them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the tech stuff is fun too, isn't it? Me keeping you up at 3 a.m. asking you how to do stuff.
Well, I don't know how long that's gonna last. But
you're
yeah,
messing
that's...
around. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm partially responsible, probably wholly responsible, maybe for wearing you out. You know, I mean. Dave, Dan got the Fiend phone going. And we had it going last night. We tried to use it today, but it didn't work. But no, if I can break away from Skype anytime you or Dave come on, man, I will do it. No offense to Skype or anything, but I don't like
it.
Yeah,
it was
much.
Definitely a better quality. I thought it was a better quality. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
so,
Dave said, sweet.
Yeah. Got to get him on.
Well, man, thanks for coming out. We got to end this thing, unfortunately. And Dave Scott's coming up next on KTLK. If you're listening on Spreaker and you missed any of these shows, I will be doing the replays. The Daniel Joseph show, I've got to kind of edit it and put it back up there. But this one's definitely in full. And if you can catch it on all the podcasts. And, Dan, I look forward to hearing more of your shows, man, more of your podcasts. And I can't wait to see what you got coming up. Thanks for coming out.
Me too. Man. Me too. I want to thank you, Joe. It's always fun and it's always a pleasure, man. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, folks, that's it. We're ending this thing. Up next on KTLK is Spaced Out Radio with Dave Scott. We'll see you guys next week. We're going to have some interesting shows lined up for you. Keep it real.